The following Dafyomi recording begins with today's Daf from the 13th International Cycle. It's followed by a very fast review of the Daf that allows you to listen to the whole Daf within 5 to 10 minutes. That's followed by exactly the same Daf at greater length, deeper explanations, and with a different group of people, either from the previous 12th cycle or even the 11th, and sometimes even the 10th. Today's daf in Masechet Sukkah, brought to you mibein lechomot Yerushalayim, believe it or not, is daf Yud Dalet. So we were in the middle of trying to figure out the basis of the machlokas that we had yesterday about whether if you change your mind, that was the last way that we tried to figure things out, that you initially went ahead and you cut some grain down with the stalk, with the straw, so that your initial intention was to eat it, at which point the straw is also considered to be makabel terumah because it's a yad, and the area next to the shibolim would be a yad. And we found out that there seems to be a machloket, even in that case, when you change your mind to use it for sichuch, whether you need to have enough area that would be schach kosher, even above and beyond not only the grains, but beyond the area of the straw that's connected to the grain, it's close to the grain, which would be metame also as a yad, or whether we don't care about that part. That part is also schach kosher. And we were questioning why it would be possible to be machshir such a thing, because normally the din is by tuma, that a machshava defines the usage of a thing, but it can't change the uses of a thing. So since initially it was cut in order to eat, that may have turned it into a yad lo'echlin. The only way that you could change that, lichora, would be, as the Mishnah says, a kelim, ma'aseh motzi midei machshava midei ma'aseh, but not another machshava. So how does the intent to use it as schach change anything? So we said, maybe, and this is the last thing that we ended up with yesterday, maybe you'll try to tell me that the point of the acherim, the rabbanon rather, that are mater, so to speak, using the whole thing, in other words, they say it's not makabel terumah, is that they say that halacha of saying that a machshava doesn't help to change is only a machshava on the basic item itself, on the kli. But over here, yadayim are just a reality, the logistical reality. Either you're going to be using them as something that's useful to hold the eichlin, or you're not. But it has nothing to do with the chashivas of changing the yi'ud of the kli itself. Okay, so that's where we were up to. And that, I'm just going to review that line that we did yesterday, which is the fifth line down in yadayim, v'chitem, and maybe you'll tell me that the reason that the rabbanon say that it's not roi lekabel tumah any longer as a yad is because the Mishnah that says that you cannot change the purpose of a thing just by thinking about it refers only animili kelim, refers only to the actual utensils themselves, which are chashive, and having been once defined as utensils, you can't change it just by the power of mind. But the whole meaning of yadot is merely that they are logistically tzorech achila nidu, right? That's it. It's not choshev. You're going to use it, you're not going to use it. So over there, you turned it into something usable by your intent to use, and b'machshava na'asa, but you can turn it out of being something usable by deciding not to use it. So b'machshava salka. No, even that won't help you. Why? Because Vatznan in the Mishnah in Uktzin, which of course is all about this issue, the relationship of the extension or the handles of the thing, pieces of wood that are attached to the kli, to the eichlin. So there it says, not like that, because it says, kol yadota ochlin, any handles to food, and that of course what we're discussing over here, the straw, that you were basisan begorin. That you went ahead and you were bases them now, bisasan. We use that word in modern Hebrew all the time. Your baseball team, nachla tfusa shleima. What is a tfusa? Crushing blow, right? Crushed. That's it. Complete failure. Okay, so then if that's what it means, then bisasan begorin would have to mean you really smash them, you stomp on them. Ah! Right? This would be the. Any Israeli out on the street would immediately recognize that. Oh boy, you pow! Right in the kisser. So. That implies that bisasan, and only bisasan, which is definitely an act, it's not a machshava, you already were bosis them in the goren, only then do they lose their shem yad because they're no longer useful. But you can't think of it to be mabatel them. So now, look, I have to admit that according to one explanation of the meaning of bisasan, then this could work out. And that's not Ben Yehuda's explanation. According to one Mandiyama, the meaning of Bisasan Begorin is Bishlam Lamandiyama Bisasan simply means you untied the knot. So that they were going to be used, and our initial take on this, we'll see that there's two levels of Yadot. Our initial take is that the usefulness of the kash for bringing in the wheat is that it's easy to be handled that way, because you could tie it into a bundle. What are you going to do with wheat? The little pieces of wheat on the floor, you sit there and pick up every one of them. And say, so like this, you just pick up a lot of it at one time, and you wrap it up or something, and then once I untie the knot, I'm showing I don't need it anymore, because what am I, crazy? I have to do all that work, now I'm untying it? So I'm now showing...
The sheaf, the whole big sheaf you're untying?
Yeah, I untie the sheaf. Now, because I'm about to winnow it. Well, I don't want to tie it. But the moment I untie it, I no longer want the kash, right? So if that's what it means, that's not an act. As we already saw before, that's not called an act in the thing. That is just called a change in machshava. It's what you asked yesterday with Yaakov about. The fact that I put it up on something is not an act, because it doesn't change the thing. Here too, it doesn't change the kash. It changes the circumstances of the kash. That's not called a maisa. That is called, technically, machshavto nikeret mitoch maase, which is no different than a machshava. You do something which indicates what you are thinking. So it works as well as a machshava, but that's all that it is. It's not a maisa. You understand the difference? Yeah, this is very clear. So if you hold it, Bisasan means Hitira Gudan, said, okay, then you can say that indeed, the Rabbonin that we just had before, that you don't have to worry about the Yad element, even though initially it had been cut for food, that's exactly what they hold, like that Mandiyama. But what about according to Mandiyama, who says that Bisasan means you really smash him? So Bisasan Mamash, the Maika Lamema, how are you going to explain it? Well, how are you going to explain it? We'll have to say that we did the same thing over here. We'll have to say, Hakanami, that you were in our machlokas between the Acherim and the Rabbanim. Nimlach Lasichuch doesn't mean a gentle Nimlach Lasichuch. Nimlach Lasichuch means that you took them and you smashed them down. Maybe you wanted to clean off any dirt from them, and but you smashed them down. You were bosis them to indicate that you could to actually reduce them from being Yadayim to just being Schach. No, so now I'm really confused. If it means Bisasan Mamash, then why did the Acherim say that they're still Yadayim? And that's a Maisa. Maisa is certainly Mavatal. Ah, because, you see, there are two levels of that Mishnah as well. What we quoted to you from the Mishnah is only the part of Kol Yadoto Ochlim Shebisasan. But we very conveniently left out the second words, which are Vireb Yosi Nitameh anyway. Now, why would Rabbi Yossi say that the straw is still considered to be a yad, even if you actually winnowed? I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why, very simply. Because according to Rabbi Yossi, he holds kazya, the straw is still useful even after you have untied them and they're sitting there, for purposes that Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish explained. The Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, the very fact that you now have the straw there makes it easier to throw the whole thing up in the air for the wind to grab at it with your pitchfork, with your eter. And therefore, that itself is a yad. And that makes it broil the kabel tuma.
It's detached now.
Is that?
Is it detached from the grains?
Well, even if it's partially detached, but you still want to winnow it. That's what it's saying. It's no longer useful for food, but it's useful for throwing the whole thing up. And it's good you grab the whole thing, and then basically all the junk that's thrown out, you're left behind with the seedlings. That actually depends whether Bisasan, according to this Mandiyama, the Chazanish explains over there. He doesn't explain himself well, but he says Bisasan simply means a preparatory act to the actual winnowing in order to avoid what's bothering you. But many learn over there in the Pirush HaMishnayos that Bisasan, according to this, means literally you did the winnowing itself. And then, so the way I understand it is that even if you didn't do the winnowing, you did the threshing. I shouldn't say winnowing. You did the threshing is what I meant. Yeah, the whole time I said winnowing, I mean the threshing. So having done the threshing, it's still useful to throw the whole mess up into the air. And it's easier to get the whole thing up in the air when you've got the kash. Once you've got the bulk and it goes up, so then the wind already will blow everything but the heavy grains. Okay. So, to continue, ask the Gemara, okay, that's very nice when you're dealing with the need to winnow. But here we're talking about Schach on the Sukkah. Why in the world would anybody still want to give it a din of a yad for Schach for the Sukkah? Well, Sukkah doesn't last forever. I mean, after Sukkah, right? Lamai Chaza. Chaza l'chis zatar. When you tear down your sukkah, it's going to be an awfully lot easier to collect everything by using the kash, obviously. So you have the straw still. And there you'll be able to get all the grain that's on the straw. So it's l'minkat u'bigilayu. This way you can collect everything with the extensions of the straw. And the millet would still, according to the shita, be considered to be yadod.
So he still has intention to use these grains as food.
Or to clean it up. But it hasn't lost its shame. The food hasn't lost its shame of food.
The straw is put on the sukkah with the grain still on it.
Yeah, the only question is whether the part of the straw that's close to the grain is considered to be makabel truma because of the others.
And if it is, then it's not.
Then that part has to also be outweighed by the part of the straw that it has to be rove of straw that's not close to the grain. Masha'enkein, if we're mavata the din of the yad, we don't have to consider any part of the straw to be pasul, all the straw would be kosher. Yeah, so it makes a big difference in the proportions. By the way, can we just look a little more closely at the Mishnah itself? So, because we've been assuming that everybody knows it. But Gufa, let's just repeat the Mishnah and see the Shitot, because we didn't tell you the names. You just said there's a Mandiyama. So, Gufa, the Mishnah is like this. Kol yadota ochlim shibisasam begoren teharot Rabbi Yossi mitami. So over there was a machlokas which we made reference to without mentioning names. My bisasan, so Rabbi Yochanan says it's real bus, man, bash, like we say in English, is bisasan, mamash. Whereas Rabbi Elazar Omer, it just means to undo the knots that hold all things together. So Bishlam Rabbi Elazar, who says bisasan, simply means he tir ogdan. He obviously understands that the reason Rabbi Yossi is metame. Because Rabbi Yossi is talking about the requirement for something that is, as long as I could still use it for the grain. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says b'sasan mamash, why would Rabbi Yossi still view it as yadayim? What is it good for? You already smashed the grain. Because it makes it easier to throw everything up with your pitchfork. And so this was basically b'kitzer, all of the references that we were making before. By the way, Rabbi Elazar points out that once we're talking about pitchforks and how it makes things easier, so Amar Rabbi Elazar, Lomanim Shalat Filatan Shat Tzadikim Ke'eter, because we find in the Torah, it says, Vaye'etar Yitzchak Lashem Anochach Ishtar, right? Vaye'etar, and Hashem was Me'ater Vaye'etar Lo, which is weird. Why do we use, when he prayed, it was pitchfork praying, and when HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers him, he answers him as a pitchfork. Right? It's a weird lotion. The Rashi actually brings this, right? That's the atira used today. An atira is to try to really flip things over. That's what an atira is. So an appeal, we use the word atira based on Yitzchak in modern Hebrew. So you give an atira into the court. It means you're appealing that we should change the psak. So just like an eter, so that word is based on this Gemara, just like an eter is mehapech atvua bagoren mimakom lamakom. So the pitchfork moves the grain from one place to another place in the goren. So too did the tefilatan shel tzadikim mehapechet da'ato shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu mimidat achzariyut limidat rachmanut. And as the Marsha explains it elsewhere, that the idea over here is that this is after Rabbi Elazar's shita, that's what's bringing by Rabbi Elazar, because he holds that the connection to the Goren is for specifically for winnowing purposes. This is addresses your issue, so it works out even better, not like the Chazon Ish as Marsha. So that the point is that since I can use the Eter as part of the winnowing process, what that means is that Tfila always seeks to get a psak on the good part of your mice. In other words, everything that we do is mixed. So when you winnow things, you basically are asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to look at the elements that were decent and that came from a good place and to ignore the elements that weren't and to blow away the rest of it. It's very similar to the Pesach. That's very similar to that Birur, and that's why the Tefillah itself is viewed as an Eter, and that's part of what one does with Tefillah, is one, that's the Hakorah Tefillah, is that you choose how to look at things and therefore how to present them with a particular point of view, which changes the response of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you're basically acting something like a lawyer, like a prosecutor, a defense attorney, and you're showing the way that it might be looked at, giving it a perspective. Fortunately, our president walked in just at time, saving us from Richie's Russian rendition.
Dr. Heidegger Mishnah.
Misachachin Benisarim. And so our parak has been dedicated to this part of the parak from the point that we described, this Akkasha. We have been discussing elements that might take something which is theoretically schach kosher in terms of meeting the criteria of gidulam in haaretz and not mekabel tumah, and nonetheless show us that there are problems associated with it. And we found all kinds of interesting problems. A gezera of otzer we had as a problem. Maybe you'll end up sitting under a patio which wasn't made l'sichu chavisha, or and that would gezeras kenegatas ben oser. Or gezeras that maybe they'll dry up and leave you with nothing there, like the lettuce problem. Or gezeras that maybe they'll start dripping on your head and you'll leave the sukkah. Or gezeras that they're going to stink after a while, and therefore they're not there for long term, you're not going to be able to sit in that sukkah. And now we introduce a new problem with schach, which is called gezerat tikra, as we'll see, is its halachic name. And now the question is, can I use boards for my sukkah? Now, boards are made of trees, and trees grow in the ground. And boards are shute kliyetz, they're not makabel tuma. So theoretically, they're perfectly kosher schach. Because of that, says Rabbi Yehuda, misachachim benisarim, you can use flat boards for the top of your sukkah. Why not? Rabbi Yehuda.
Because they've been worked, they've been sold up, and then
they're not makabel tuma. No problem. And yet, somehow, Rabbi Meir oser, and we're going to see that the reason Rabbi Meir is oser is because of the gezera, that since roofing is often done with slats, with slate roofs like that, it's made of slats. So therefore, we're gozer that if people do make their sukkah this way, what's going to prevent a person from building a house for the purposes of using during sukkahs as well, you know? And he puts up a nice roofing of these slats, and he lives there all year round. Comes sukkah, it just stays there. There's nothing different. Since this Torah says that the point of a sukkah is to leave the way you normally live and to go into something that is made for not your year-round living purposes, you may be living technically in a kosher sukkah, but it's a house and not a sukkah.
Isn't there a minimum of amount?
We're going to get to it. So now, Rabbi Meir, therefore, is oser. Now, it turns out that this next piece is going to give us a key to opening up the Mishnah. Natan aleha neser. If you put at the edge of your sukkah one board, which was four tefachim wide, well, obviously the sukkah remains kosher, right? Because even four amot at the edge of the sukkah are made out of something that's completely possible for schach. Even if I made it out of metal, we have dofen akuma. So that's not a problem. Okay. But once it's four tefachim, the sukkah remains kosher. But you cannot sleep under that single board. Now the question is that said according to everybody, or is this an extension of Rabbi Meir's Gzera Tikra, who says that boards are not kosher for schach? And now this is going to turn out to be a major machlokas as to how to read this Mishnah. So here's how Rav reads the Mishnah. Rav says that the din of Gzera Tikra is only on boards that are four tefachim wide. So that Rabbi Meir holds a Gzera Tikra, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold a Gzera Tikra, that's the way we read the Mishnah. But if you don't have four tefachim, and remember that four tefachim is always the minimal shear we had by Shabbat, we had before for various issues of sukkah, four tefachim is something that gives it the din of a makom choshev. The place where we spoke about this vis-a-vis sukkah was where we were talking about where to put the extra tefach, if you had two walls facing each other, whether you need a piece of four tefachim, because not only it's rove, but as the Ron explains, because it's a mokum choshev. Okay, so this din of mokum choshev is a general concept that people see this already as something that has its own chashivas. But once it's less than four, I mean, basically it's a bamboo strip, you know, it's a slightly thicker bamboo strip, but it doesn't have any chashivas. So if it's less than four, even Rabbi Meir is mode that it's kosher. And Gzerat Tikra kicks in only once something hits four tefachim. Whereas Shmuel said, oh no, on the contrary. If there's not four, that's where Rabbi Yehuda is saying that it's kosher. But once it's already four tefachim, nobody would disagree with Gzerat Tikra, because that really looks like you're making the kind of roof that you might make in your paneled ceiling, you know? And that already is something that might lead people to remaining at home for sukkahs. So therefore, yesh b'mar ba'ah, divrei hakol psula. And this is a completely opposite way of seeing the Mishnah. So according to Rabbi Meir, according to Rav, there are times where even Rabbi Meir doesn't hold Gzirat Tikkun. According to Shmuel, there's times when even Rabbi Yehuda does hold Gzirat Tikkun. Now, that's the Gemara. I just want to understand logically what you're saying. I mean, surely we're all agreed that you can use bamboo for your schar. I mean, so Shmuel couldn't possibly have meant any size at all. It's considered to be, what do you mean, less than four? Less than four? Even less than three? Are you saying less than four? Is that anything less than four? Ask the Gemara, do you mean to say that in that case, even if it's less than the shear of lavud? I mean, that's bamboo, basically. Well, that's just a little thicker bamboo than this. I mean, how do you draw the line? What makes it bamboo? What makes it nisarim, if this is the way you're understanding the Mishnah? I mean, that's kanim ba'almaninu. That's nothing. That's absolutely nothing. Omer of Papa, no, of course not. What Shmuel was saying is that if they have arba'ah up, okay, then everybody is voted that it's possible. Even Rabbi Yehuda holds a gzera tikra. Of course, if it's less than three, you didn't even need to explain that. Less than three is bamboo, basically. I mean, if it's considered to be lawful for airspace, then it's meaningless. Thank you so much. So, pachot mishlosha dibre hakol shera. My timer, kanim be'almaninu. That's just strips. But ki pligi mishlosha ab arba'ah. Well, all I'm saying is, if it's four and up, there's no machlokas of gzera tikra. The machlokas is between the shear that's already post lavud, which is three tefachim, up until the shear, which is just under makom chashav, which would be four. So that tefach, a little bit less than a tefach, is the only place where we have the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Once we hit four, I'm saying, says Shmuel, everybody agrees to gzera tikra. And the machlokas between three and four is based on Mar Sava Kimi, the left Shir Mokum. Since we don't have a place that gives it a din of a Mokum Choshev to itself, we don't make a Gzerat Tikra. And that's Rabbi Yehuda's for it. Whereas Rabbi Meir holds, Kiva the Nafka Lemi Torat Lavud. Look, it's not considered to be not there anymore. I mean, it's, you can't say Lavud. Then already we have to be Gozer. People look at it and they take it seriously. And therefore, Gazbinan. Okay, now we need to look at the key. In our mission. And the key is that last line. If you take one piece, that's four, and you put it at the edge, you can't sleep under that piece. Now, I understand why, obviously, the sukkah is kosher. Sukkah is kosher, because Dof and Akuma would have allowed you anything to put there, even up to Arba Amot, right? But why are you not allowed to sleep under it, okay? So if the Mishnah says, Natan Alea Neser, which is Rachav Arba Atvachi, it's kosher, but you must not sleep under that part of the schach, because it's not schach, it's wall. And it's only kosher because of Dof and Akuma. Okay, so according to Shmuel, Shmuel says, that's correct. That's what everybody holds. I mean, certainly the end of the Mishnah seemed to be a unanimous statement. It didn't seem to be part of the Machlokas, Rav, and Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda. Correct? So that works out very well because Shmuel says, yes, indeed. Once it's four tefachim, everybody agrees that it's chach pasul. And indeed, according to Shmuel, the last line provides you the key to understanding where the machlokas is between Rabbi and Rabbi Meir. So it's brilliant. So we read it very clearly. So Bishlam al Shmuel, who says, Kishein ben arba machloket, Ava yesh ben arba adivrekol et pasul. Therefore, everyone has agreed to these words. Bishlam ha'chi, lo yishan tachtav. The Mishnah, of course, is telling you that the sukkah is kosher. I mean, there's no problem with the sukkah as long as you have enough kosher schach and the rest of it. But you can't sleep under that board because that board's not schach. It's for tefachim. It's a netzer. It's pasul. And that's according to all. But according to Rav, Rav says, on the contrary, the machloket starts where you have arba'ah, right? So kishiyesh ben arba'ah machloket, but ein ben arba'ah, everybody holds its kosher. So then how could we possibly have a unanimous statement at the end of the Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda would agree, well, you mustn't sleep under it. Why not? It's normal schach. To do it's an esar arba'ah, big deal, but Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold gzeirat tikra. So the Rabbi Yehuda, amai lo yisham tachta. Well, says Rav, you think this line was meant to be a key to understanding the machloket and was a unanimous statement? I mean, that's a romantic assumption. In fact, the last line of the Mishnah is merely a conclusion of Rabbi Meir Shita, that's all. So, mi savrit divrei akoli. The safe is going on libet Rabbi Meir, and indeed Rabbi Meir holds it tzach pasul. So it's saying you can't sleep under. Okay. Now, let's see whether we can support the yeshitas of Rav and Shmuel in the following bright. The bright says like this. two sheets that you put down side by side, and together they add up to four tefachim. That parcels the sukkah. Remember that four tefachim in the middle of a sukkah is basically a hefsek in the sukkah, which means that you don't have a single sukkah chair in there. You can ignore less than three tefachim of avir, and you can ignore less than four tefachim of schach posa, and still keep your sukkah together. But the moment you've got three tefachim of avir, four tefachim of schach posa, then it's possible. So if you have two sheets, obviously a sheet's makabel tuma, so even if each one of them, what it means is a thin piece of material, scarves, that's okay. You put them down one next to the other, you've got four tefachim to pass your sukkah, you've got schach posa in the middle of your sukkah, it's makabel tuma, and that cuts your sukkah into two. So you now only have two walls in each one of your sukkahs. No good. But the shnei nisarim, if you put down two boards one next to another, then it's not mitzvah. Whereas Rabbi Meir says, nope, nope, even two boards are mitzvah the same way that two sheets are mitzvah. Now, this is very, very opaque because I don't know what you mean mitzvah to what. I don't know what size boards you're talking about. And I don't exactly understand where the din of tziruf is nogia. So let's see if we can figure out how to work this braita out according to both Rav and Shmuel. So now, according to Shmuel, things work out very nicely. I immediately see the approach to this right, because Shmuel holds that there is only a machlokas in less than arba'a, right? So then we can read it like this. So Shmuel says, b'she'in b'em arba'a machlokas. Once you have arba'a, everybody else it's possible, right? So then if that's the case, when you say that they're mitzarfim, what would you mean? That they're mitzarfim to arba'a tefachim. So what Rabbi Yehuda is coming to say is that if you got two nisarim that are more than three tefachim, obviously, so he's saying a mitzarfim. Since each piece in itself is kosher, why would it be possible when you put two together? You have two pieces of kosher schach. There's no new gzeirat tikra because you've got two pieces. Each piece has to be a problem. So therefore, shnei nisarim ein mitzarfim. Comes along Rabbi Meir to say, oh yes, they are, because they will pasal a sukkah because they're pure schach pasal. That's how I learn. Once it's more than three tefachim, it's schach pasal. What do you need tzira for? Because if you don't have four tefachim, it doesn't pasal your sukkah. But two pieces will pasal your sukkah in the middle, right? So everything is perfect. What's your problem? In the middle of your sukkah,
you can never use slats, so like, because they would add up to each other.
No, if each one is kosher, each one is kosher. So but according to Rabbi Meir, each one is not kosher.
I'm saying Rabbi Meir, then you could never use these things because they would always add up, even if they're less than four.
Well, not necessarily, only if you've got two pieces together in the middle. Will they pass the whole sukkah? Otherwise, they just don't let you sit under them, but they don't pass the whole sukkah. If they're less than four tefachim, then they don't pass the sukkah. You just can't sit under them, right?
So you can't sit in your whole sukkah. If that's all you have is
these slats. Well, you can sit in the avir between them. Okay, we'll see. We'll get to the actual construction of roof in a minute. So therefore, mitztarfim la'arba'a. But how does Rav read this machlokas in the bracha? According to Rav, Rav says that the only machlokas is if they already have four. Well, for heaven's sakes, if they already have four, there's nothing to be mitzarif. What do you mean? They only become possible once they're four. Well, once they're four, they're already four, for heaven's sake. So there's nothing to be mitzarif. So according to Rav, it's yeshba mar ba machloket. But if they're not even four, then even Rabbi Meir holds they're nothing but glorified bamboo. So what's there to be mitzarif? If they're kosher, techidomi. If you start off with four, you don't have to be mitzarif. Lamalut starufi. If you don't start off with four, how can you make something usher if it's mutter? You can't add kosher bamboo to make it no kosher bamboo. It's absurd. So what would it mean to be mitzvah? You said less than four for all intents and purposes is bamboo. So how did it suddenly become possible? Ah, you're making an assumption now. Your assumption was that four was meaningful. The only meaning itztarufi was itztarufi la arba atfachim. But there's another itztarufi, isn't there? Itztarufi to four amais in terms of dofen akuma. Maybe that's the point. Of course, according to Rav, we have to assume that we're dealing with pieces of four. Because otherwise Rebbe Meir would never have said that they're mitzarfim. When you talk about mitzarfim, what we mean is if you got four amot of this stuff on the edge of your sukkah, so according to Rebbe Meir, it'll be mitzarif because you can no longer use dof and akuma, and therefore you don't have a kosher sukkah. Now, this is a little sneaky, that piece, because, you know, so as a matter of fact, some, because of this, invert the whole limud here. And they start saying it in that direction. So lishna akrina, another way is to say like this. Bishlam, according to Shmuel, who holds that the machlokis is less than four, but once you have four, everybody is murdered at your puzzle. So then he could understand the issue over here is mitzarfim means mitzarfim to arba amot min atzak. That's what we begin with. But according to Rav, how can it mean mitzarfim aliba the Rebbe Yehuda? You see, because yes, according to Rebbe Meir, you could say the meaning of mitzarfim is when you start with four. If you add up enough for this, you can get the four amos, and then the sukkah is possible because of going outside of dof and akuma. So it's mitzarfil arba amot min atzad. But according to Rebbe Yehuda, it never is possible, even if it starts off with four tvachim. So yesh bem arba atz kosher. So what do you mean mitzarfim to pasul? How can it be mitzarif? Right? Yeah, not mitzarif. It's schach kosher. So how do you explain Rabbi Yehuda saying ein mitzarfim? What do you mean ein mitzarfim? Well, obviously ein mitzarfim, it's schach. What do you mean mitzarif for what? You can only use the language of tziruf if you have something that's possible. You can't use the language of tziruf for something that's kosher. It's absurdity. The language makes no sense. So in this version, the Lishna Achrina, we focus on the word mitzarfim. You can't say that something is not mitzarif in order to say it's kosher. You just say it's chach kosher. So what are you talking about, ein mitzarfim? Yeah, what do you mean ein mitzarfim? It's bamboo. Would somebody tell me, you can't put on so much bamboo that it'll possel your sukkah? Well, it's nonsense. It's going to be homoninu. Okay, fine. But Rebbe Yehuda didn't mean ein mitzarfim. He was just responding to Rebbe Meir. I need to come to Rebbe Meir mitzarfim. So Rebbe Yehuda says, what mitzarfim? There's nothing to be mitzarfim. Ein mitzarfim. But he didn't mean that there's something that we have to worry about, whether it's mitzarfim. He's just using Rebbe Meir's words against him. Okay, so we could explain the brayta, both according to Rav, both according to Shmuel. And the truth is that there are even braytot that differ in the same way that Rav and Shmuel differ. We have a brayta tanik avati to Rav, and we have a tanik avati to Shmuel. Tanik avati to Rav. If you took sichacha b'nisarim shel eretz, she'ein behem arba, divrei hakol ksheira. Wow. So this is 100% like Rav. Rav is the one who said that even according to Rabbi Meir, there is no gezerat tikrav. It doesn't have four tvachim. Yesh behem arba, then we have a machokas. Rabbi Meir is pasul, Rabbi Yehuda is machshir. And in the Braita, even continues on with Rabbi Yehuda's response. You know, we once had a problem with the Romans, Maaseh b'shata sakana, where we weren't allowed to sit in the sukkahs. You know what we did? We put a beautiful slat roof up on our mirpeset. And then we sat out on our mirpeset enjoying the view. And when the Romans came by and said, what the heck you think you're doing? What, so now you got a law against sitting on a porch, you idiots? So they didn't see that it was a sukkah, because usually sukkahs, people use branches, and you know, and there were no branches, so we got away with murder. So sichachnu agabe merpeset, v'yashavnu tachtayim. According to you, it would have been possible, Rabbi Meir. Amrulah, they said, what, are you going to bring a raya from a shat sakana, where it's better to sit on a merpeset with schach, that is kosher, but yiraita, and would only be possible because of gzerat tikra, than not to be begayim a sukkah at all? So bishom raya, ain't sha'at a sakana raya. The fact that you want to at least be Makayim Ikarat.
Go sit outside of the sukkah.
Look at this. Yeah, you're not. It's not a kosher sukkah. So, in Shata Sakana Raya, a Zman of Sakana, when you want to leave the Tafyomi to go to a skiing trip and so on, that is not a Raya at all. Tanya Kavati Dishmu. We also, however, have a brighter like Shmuel. Here it says, Sichacha b'nisarim shel eretz she'yesh behen arba divrei hakol psula. Exactly what Shmuel said. So according to this, Rebbe Yehuda is meida. Once it's at four, for sure it is gzeiras tikra. The only question is if ein behem arba. So Rebbe Meir is posel, Rebbe Yehuda is makshir. And here's an interesting thing. This touches now on Rebbe Yaakov's point. And that is that Rebbe Meir is moda. That if you've got space between each neser, which is as wide as the Neser itself, that then you can be meniach the psal. Psal means the psalat koren v'yakev, which is another way of referring to schach. You're meniach schach between them, and it would be kosher. So now what we're going to see later on, that obviously this doesn't seem to make much sense. Okay, later on, the Gemara is going to explain this extremely opaque reference to be referring to a sukkah that is 8 amot, so we can handle the sides with dofen akuma, and you started your sikhuch on both sides to meet in the middle. So in that case, if you take the 4 tefach, leave over 4 tefach, put on another 4 tefach, and so on, you meet in the middle with a hole of 2 4 tefachs. Once you meet in the middle with a hole of 2 4 tefachs,
too much.
That is, no, that's perfect, because now you filled it up with...
If you fill it up.
Well, that's what he said. If you fill it up, yeah. So you put the psal in the middle. So now what have you got? A perfect sukkah of 8 tefachim by 8 tefachim, which is kosher, according to everybody, both Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, right? Mm-hmm. It's not kosher according to Rebbe. You don't have for...
Dofen akuma on both sides.
And you have dofen akuma all around, which we said is fine. And you've got a middle piece of shkosh. You sit down in the middle piece. Yeah. So you're fine. So Rabbi Meir would be moda in that case. You can use dofen akuma. Okay. The Gemara, again, as I say, later on, is going to go through this in detail, what these cases were. That you're meniach pesvaneim, and it's ksherah. And Rabbi Yehuda is also moda. Now, once you take one board, which is 4 tefachim wide, you put it on the edge, even though we said that once it's 4, even Rabbi Meir is Maida that it's possible. So he is Maida that over here you can't sleep under it, but it's kosher because of Dofen Akuma. So Ein Yoshenim Tachtav, because Rabbi Yehuda is also Maida to the Gzera Tikra once it's 4. And therefore, if you're Yoshen Tachtav, Lo Yatzak Yidei Chovato. Okay, so now we have two completely different approaches to the extent of Gzera Tikra. Now what we have to ask ourselves is, does Gzeirat Tikra mean that something that could be mistaken for a roof is not kosher for a sukkah? Or does Gzeirat Tikra mean material which would be used for a roof is not kosher to use for schach? Now that makes a big difference, and I'll tell you very simply how. Suppose you take butcher blocks, right? Butcher blocks of wood, which are 4 tefachim wide, 10 tefachim wide, but you set them up on their edge. They're only 3 inches wide. Deep, so they're now only 3 inches wide, and you put 100 of these butcher blocks, which are sticking up, right? Yeah, so you work in IKEA, yeah, so you use this stuff for your entire sukkah. Now, well, I'm sitting in my sukkah, all I see is, you know, little 3-inch pieces. I mean, that's fine, looks to me like really nice looking bamboo, basically, for all intents and purposes, slats of wood. Or does the butcher block itself is no different than using a piece of metal? Because now the material is something that could be used for sikhuch, even though I'm not putting it, I mean for roofing, even though now I didn't put up something that looks like a tikra. This is our next issue, itma. What is the halacha, says the Gemara, of in a case where hafchanat sidehen? You take the board, you put it on its edge, and you use the edge as your sach. Ravuna says, well, it doesn't matter, it's still possible. Rav Chista, Rabbi Bar Ravuna said, well, it doesn't look like a roof, it's kosher. Now, Rav Nachman, who was the Posek Ador, came and visited Sura. So Rav Chista and Rabbi Bar Rav Huna, they go to Rav Nachman, and they ask him, Amrei leih, what is the din of chanat sidehen mahu? He said, well, they're pasul. Psulaninu. They're no different than using metal spits. Would you use metal spits? Once we made Xeras Tikra, we made the material osur for the sukkah. Not the shape of your roof pasul for the sukkah, but pieces of wood that are 4 tefachim wide can't be used on a sukkah. I don't care how you put them up there. So it's no different than any other schach puzzle. Said Ravuna, I told you, Ramal Ravuna, didn't I tell you to accept my psak here? I'm ri kavati. Amrulus, they said to, but you didn't explain yourself that as a din of schach puzzle. We didn't understand what you meant. Mi amalam taima, amalam mar taima, did you explain yourself and we weren't makabal your reasoning? Rav Nachman explained himself. Marlo, he said, you know, I suppose I give you guys too much credit. Did you ask me to explain myself? I didn't explain myself. I assumed that it was rather evident why I would be saying something like that. When you didn't ask me for an explanation, I didn't think it was necessary. So, I mean, if you didn't trust me, I know what I'm talking about. At least you could have asked me. Let us actually see whether we can prove this directly from our Breita. If the sukkah wasn't big enough to hold Rosh Aruba v'shulchan, or another psalm, suppose the wall was only a wall of 10 utilizing lavud, and now it's got a hole on the bottom that is big enough for a little kid, a gedi, to get in there without any trouble, and that is the shear of lavud. That means it's 3 tvachim high. Since it's 3 tvachim high, we no longer have a 10 tvachim high wall. Because, you see, if we had started with 10 tvachim somewhere, then I could have said good. But I don't have a 10 tvachim high somewhere, so I can't say good. So that passes the wall. Or, another case, you took a neser, which is 4 tvachim, and you didn't use the 4 tvachim of the neser, you see. You only used, let's say, 3 tvachim of the neser. It's still possible. What does that mean? You didn't use the 4 tvachim. I'm assuming it means you stuck it on its side. And nonetheless, it's saying it's possible. Doesn't it mean lafka and shafka not see the end? And it was only 3 tvachim on its edge, but 4 tvachim on its width? No. How come I ask you? How do you know it means that? Maybe it means you took a 4 tvachim board. You stuck it down in the front of the sukkah with one tefach sticking outside of the sukkah. And you figured that since inside of the sukkah,
I'm only using three,
so I don't have a problem. And it's not the same. You'll say, okay, but it still proves the point. It proves the point that we don't look at what your roof looks like. We look at what the material looks like. Wrong. And I'll tell you why it's wrong. Because in the same way we said before, an amazing halacha, that if you have schach that is kosher, and it juts out from your sukkah, and it doesn't have any walls, it's still kosher. Remember, we talked about the sukkah over there by the churva, where the schach goes on even though the walls have ended. And that's kosher, because it's sala yotzim ha-sukkah. That works in both directions. Because what it means is that the roof is viewed as extending beyond the door. And maybe that's why it's possible, because the extension beyond the door is altogether 4. And therefore, we see it as a board of 4. But maybe enachinami, if it wasn't because of that, maybe we wouldn't say what Rav Nachman said, or Rav Huna said, that the material is ipso facto possible. And therefore, let's head inside. You put it on the opening of the mitlata, your sukkah, which means the ayot tlata legav, vafik chad labar. You have 3 tefachim inside, 1 tefach jutting out outside. But the problem is that gives you psala yotzim in a sukkah. And a psal that's yotzim in a sukkah, to be makshir it, is nidon kesukkah. And here too, it's nidon to sukkah to pasal it because of gezerat tikra. Vatnan, ko yodot ochlim shebasasan, bisasan, begoren torot. So Bishlam and the man, what does Bisasan mean? He tirogdan. Okay, that's Makshava, so that's Shaf. But according to the man, my Bisasan Mamash, Michael Amema. Well, Michael Amema, you say the same thing over here, that you were Bisasan Mamash, to use it for Schach. So then Yochi, my time, another Achairim, that would all, that's no good. The Yomak Rabbi Yossi, the Tzan Rabbi Yossi is Metame anyway. Well, wait a minute, I mean. You could say over there that the time of the Rabbi Yossi is that it's Roy like Reb Shlokish. Amrei Shlokish, ho yuvru yot lahavchan be'eter. But also, it's on your sukkah. What are you going to do with it? You're going to pitchfork it? Lamai chazeh? No, it's chazeh. L'chi satar. L'minkat lo begilayim. Gufa. Ko yadot ochlim shebisasan begoren teorot, Rabbi Yossi mitamei, mai bisasan, Rabbi Yochramar bisasan mamash, Rabbi Elazar omer, it just means he tirogdan. Now bishlam ala Rabbi Elazar, the yama bisasan means he tirogdan. That would explain why Rabbi Yossi holds, but it's still useful to have them on the straw. So he'll metame Rabbi Yossi, but according to Rabbi Yochanan, who holds bisasan mamash, how could Rabbi Yossi hold it still metame? Omer Shlokish, Oyel Veru Uyot Lofchan Be'eter. Omer Rabbi Elazar, Lamanim Shalat Tefilatan Shal Tzadikim Ke'eter. Lomar Lecha, Ma Ater Ze, Ma'afechet HaTevua Begoren, Mimakom Lamakom, Av Tefilatan Shal Tzadikim, Ma'afechet Da'ato Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mimidat Achzariyut, Mimidat Rachmanut. Mesachachim bin Esarim divir Rabbi Yudav Rabbi Meir Oser. Natan alea nesa shuroch avar ba'at vachin kshera. Ugavach lo yisham tachta. Omar Rav, machlok bin Esarim shiyesh ben arba'a. Because Rabbi Meir holds this new thing called Gzerat Tikra. And Rabbi Yudav let like Gzerat Tikra. Bin Esarim she'in ben arba'a. Everybody's made it its kosher. Shmuel Amar, oh, just the opposite. The machlok is only b'shein ben arba machlok. But yesh ben arba, the Yaakov psula. What do you mean ein ben arba? Anything at all? Ein ben arba. What do you mean? Like even pachod mishlosha? I mean, surely that's just bamboo, no? How can it be amenino? Amrav Papa, no. Of course, Shmuel meant to say that if yesh ben arba, the Yaakov psula. If it's less than shlosha, of course, nothing to discuss. The Yaakov share because it's just bamboo. But to keep pligging mishlosha ad arba. Mar Sava given to let no shir mokam lo gazrina. Or Mar Sava given to nafkin in mitorat lovud, king gazrina. Tonight, not an ala nesesh rachav arbat vachim kshira, assuming that this is a set according to everybody, ubevachlo yisham tachtav, so only works like Shmuel. So bishlo shmuel, no shem ben arba machloket. But yesh ben arba, even Rabbi Yehuda is made it, that it's possible. Okay, that's why it says unanimously, lo yisham tachtav. But according to Rav, he holds b'shiyesh ben arba machloket, ein ben arba diveko kshera. So why does the Mishnah say unanimously, what, even according to Rebuta, lo yishan tachta, why not? It's perfectly kosher, sir. Yes, it really means sabarata divre akoli. Seifa hatan Rebbe Meir, toshma, shnei sadinin, or mitstarfin, but shnei nisarim, or ina mitstarfin. Whereas Rebbe Meir says, no, nisarim are no different than sadinim. So look, Bishlam Shmuel, this makes sense because Shmuel it's machlok is shem bem arba, yesh bem arba divrei kol psula. So then mitstarfu would mean mitstarfim la arba libe Rabbi Meir. But according to Rav, who says b'sheish bem arba machloket, but ein bem arba it's kosher. So memodiv shach, if it has already arba, you don't need siruf. And if it doesn't have arba, how can it be mitzarf something that's kosher? It's gonna be amenino. Le'olam de itbu arba'a. When it says mitstarfim, it means mitstarfim arba'a mod min atzad. Because it's posel schach. So it'll posel even going beyond dofen akuma. Now, Lishnach Rina reads like this. B'sham l'shmuel d'yom b'she'in b'em arba'a machloket. Av o'yesh b'em arba'a divrei Yaakov psula. So when we say mitstarfim, we could say mitstarfim arba'a mod min atzad. But according to Rav, I mean, according to Rabbi Meir, you could say mitzarfim means arba mot menatzat. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, how can you say the lashon tziruf? I mean, even if it has arba, it's kosher. So what are you telling me, ein mitzarfim? What do you mean, ein mitzarfim? Kosher schach. How could kosher schach be mitzarf to become posel schach? It's going to be amaninu. No, okay, that must be loose language. And I did the kama, Rabbi Meir, mitstarfim. So Rabbi Yehuda says, what? There's no mitstarf. There's nothing to be mitstarf, is what he meant to say. Hey, mitstarfim. Tanik about the Rav, Tanik about the Shmuel. Tanik about the Rav, Sachacha ben Sarim shel Erez. She'in ben marba, Devriyako kshira. Yesh ben marba, Rabbi Meir posel. Rabbi Yehuda Makshir, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Maaseh b'sha'ata sakana, shehevienu nisarim shiyesh b'marba, v'sichachtu agabim mirpeset, v'yashavnu takhtayim. Amro, mishom raya, wait, can bring a raya, mishata sakana, mishata sakana raya. Tanya gavati dishmu, sachacha b'nisarim shal eras shiyesh b'marba, divrei akol psula, ein b'marba, Rabbi Meir posel Rabbi Yehuda Makshir, umode Rabbi Meir, שאם יש בין נסר לנסר, כמו לנסר, שמניח פסל ביניהם, הוא קשירה. ומודה רבי יהודה, שאם נתן עליה one נסר, which is רוחב ארבעה טווחים, and it's מן הצד, so then it's kosher, because it's דופן עקומה. But אין ישנים תחתיו, והישן תחתיו לא יצא ידי חוותו. איתמה. How about הבחנה על צידיהם? So Ravuna said, it's possible. Reb Chista and Rabba Bar Ravuna said it's kosher. When Reb Nachman showed up in Surah, they went to ask him, and Olagabe Reb Chista and Rabba Bar Ravuna, Amrele, what would you say about Havchan al Tzideim Mahu? So Reb Nachman said to them, it's possible, because no difference. Nasek ishpodim shamat techet. Omer lo Ravuna, no, next time listen to me. Lo Amrele, lo Amrele kavatein. You didn't explain. Mi omalan mar taima velo kablinan mine. Amalu, did you ask me? Mi baita minoi taima velo amrilofu. Neima misayeli. Eina makzeket kide roshov rubo vishulchano is one psal. Nif, it's above pirtsa kide shizdak herbagadiba bat rosh, that's another psal. Oshinatana le neser, which is rochavar ba'at vachim. Even if lo ichnis the tochal shloshet vachim, it's possible. Now, what do you think the case is? How are you only machmish shlosha? My life kagon shavchanat sidei? No. Hachma eskinan kagon da'acha ancha apumad mitalalta. The ayat vata legav vafichad labar. And the reason that it's possible is because it's psala yotzei min hasukah. V'chol psala yotzei min hasukah is also nidon kesukah. Okay, today's daf is daf Yud Dalet. Wishing you all a wonderful Matzei Shabbat, first night of Lichas. And you guys in Joburg, already well into your sleep, right? Okay, we were holding in the middle of the sugya that we started on Yud Gimel, and the question over there is, as far as the din of Yodot are concerned, we had two shitas that were both quoting Ravuna, whether a botzer legat in lo Yodot, or a kotzer l'schach in lo Yodot. Now, according to Ravuna, Bargada, the even a kotzer l'schach in lo yadot. And why do I say even? Because if you're botzer legat, it's obvious why you don't want the yadot, because the wood that's going to be mixed with the wine is going to absorb the liquid, and you certainly would prefer not to have it. Whether it's a botzer, a kotzer, or the schach over there, don't close it all the way, because just every time it opens it. A kotzer l'schach, over there, there's nothing particularly that bothers you, and actually, it's useful because it has a little bit of extra weight on there, on the grain that's on top, and it also has the stickiness of the grain, and therefore, it's useful to keep. Now, what we got into yesterday, and that's why we'll have to review this, because we stopped right off smack bang in the middle of the discussion, is whether it's necessary to say that there's the machloket tanaim about the din of kotzer l'schach. And what we ended up saying was that according to Rabbi Menashe Bar Gada, it could be that everybody holds that a kotzer l'schach in lo yadot. And the reason that there was a machlokes tanaim that we brought earlier was because over here he had originally been kotzer for eating it. And then he had changed his mind and decided to use it for schach. And that was the machlokes. Now we ended yesterday by asking, but then so what's the machloket? Because it's certainly difficult to believe that the machloket is that those who hold that it loses the din of yadot is just because he changed his mind and decided to use it for schach, would lose its din of yadot. After all, the klal is that when something is yored l'idei tum'ah, because you considered it for a particular usage, it remains in that position until it's changed through an act. You can't just change your mind, because it's yored l'idei tum'ah b'machshava, but it is not over from tum'ah b'machshava. Only a ma'aseh is motzi midei machshava. So the explanation that Rav Menashe Bar Gada gave for the machlokes wasn't clear. The last thing that we learned, and now we're holding on Yud Dalet, is that maybe what you could say is that there's a difference between the actual keli, which is yored l'idei machshava and cannot be changed, between that and between yadot. Because since yadot, after all, is entirely a function of whether it's going to be lemaisa used for picking up the food or picking up the kli, so maybe over there, really, a change in intent does change things. And that's where we were holding, and that's on the fifth line down. If you're going to try to tell me that maybe indeed the machloket is that according over here to the sheet of the Akherim, that Allah is that if you change your mind, being as we're not changing your mind about the kalim per se, the kalim indeed would be chasher. But yadot are purely a functional issue, and if in fact you're not going to be using them, so therefore the machshava not to use them takes away the din of yadot. Ah, but it's a problem, because hatnan kol yadot ha'ochlin shvasasan begorin tehorot. Here we have a halakha, and where you were about to do your threshing, and you have now your straw that's attached to your grain, and you're boses the grain here. We'll see what that word means. You're boses that grain. Then the halacha is that the yadot disappear. Now, the question is, how do we define that word basasan? So bishle melaman diomer basasan. There is one man diomer who says that the word basasan simply means hitir agudan. Please don't close it. Leave the parsha open.
That Bazasan means that he simply unties the piles of grain, so that by untiling the pile of grain, he's no longer now interested any longer. This is by the Lashon of Mitboseset, right? Mitboseset bedamayim. Mitboseset bedamayim means that you're lying there, rolling in your blood. And that would be the meaning over here. You take off the string, and now they all sort of just spread around. So, okay, over there, basically you haven't really done anything to it. All that you've done is you've shown that you're no longer interested in having any way of carrying them around easily, and you're happy for them to be spread around. So basically, that's a change in machshava. If you tell me that the meaning of the Mishnah is that a change of machshava in respect to yadot can actually change the utilization of the yad and make it a non-yad, fine. Now we have a good understanding of the machloket that we had about somebody who was kotzer in order to use it for food, decided to use it for sukkah, and then the question is whether that change in usage is sufficient to cancel the yad. But if you understand that the word basisan, as used in the Mishnah, and the Mishnah over there is defining, in the Mishnah Nuktzin is defining the relationship of the yad to the actual thing, in this case the grain, that basisan means, the man yama basisan means basisan mamash. The meaning of basisan would there be like tivusa, boses, navus kamenu, which we say, actually we're going to be saying on Rosh Hashanah, right?
As one of the... No, leave it.
So that's one of the psukim that we say, and it means to crush, literally to crush. So if it means to crush, then that means that you have to do an act in order to remove the yad. So what good would a change in deciding, I'm not going to be eating this grain, I'm going to be using it for schach, how would that take away the yad? And we're still left with an insufficient explanation of the machlokes tanoim, and we're trying to avoid, according to Menashe Bar Gada, we were trying to avoid having the Acherim and the Tanakama arguing about whether there are yadot for Hakotzer L'Sah. Okay, so we still don't have a good explanation. So then, Ma'ik L'Meimah? Well, I'll tell you very simply. The case that they were arguing about was indeed that you didn't just change your mind. You went ahead and you were Basasan Mamash. You went and you crushed the grain, the straw, and now that should cancel the yad. Well, so then, why do the Acherim say it doesn't cancel the yad? So my time at Acherim. Well, the Acherim hold like Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, after all, that's none. Rabbi Yossi mitameh. Rabbi Yossi, right there in that Mishnah, he said that nonetheless it's tameh, even if you were basasan. So apparently, according to him, to be literally basasan and to crush them doesn't help. Oh, come on, obviously. Talking about two different cases, man. Mishnah Mahasam, time to Rabbi Yossi. Look, Rabbi Yossi is not just talking out of a hat. I mean, what's the logic in saying that even if I crush it, it's still usable? Because Rabbi Yossi holds like Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, I'm Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Since Lamaisa, you could use a pitchfork, and you can't use a pitchfork on the grain if you don't have anything to pick it up with. So it's very useful for you to have those long tails still on it, which is the straw, because this way you can pick it up, throw it into the air, and so on, do whatever it is you need to do with it. So fine. Why in the world would you need to use a pitchfork for your sukkah? I mean, you were talking about a sukkah. You're talking about a basan for the sukkah. Why would somebody say in this case that it retains the din of a yad if you actually did an act to be mavatal the yad? That is a very short-term view, says the Gemara. Sukkahs have a tendency to come down at the end of 7 days. And then, did you ever try gathering up your schach? So leaving a tail on the schach makes it easier too. And this way it'll be easier to pick up in your pitchfork. So maybe it's the same thing. So l'chichazi l'chisata. The point over here is chazi l'chisata l'minket l'begilayu. It's easy to pick it up with the grain tip because it's stickier and broader. So because of that, maybe it's still considered to be a yad. Gufa. By the way, you brought up a Mishnah, very, very sweet Rashi here. Rashi says, I asked my Rebbe why it says Gufa on this discussion, because usually you only say Gufa when you have a Machlokas Amorayim. We just had a discussion between Amorayim, was talking about a Mishnah. Why are we bringing Gufa? We never use that word. Gufa is always after we had a Machlokas. Let's look into the details. We didn't have this Machlokas here. We were just using this Mishnah as a reference to what might be between the Amorayim. He says his Rebbe explained to him, a very beautiful explanation, that since there's no Gemara on Tarot, wherever the Gemara has an excuse to explain a Mishnah, it does. So it just brought in Gufa. Don't slam it. For no real reason. So in any event, getting to the Mishnah, Gufa. Ko yadoto achlim shebasasan begoren torot, Rabbi Yossi mitameh. What's the basasan? My basasan. And here we go, even though normally we wouldn't have done this, but it's a machlokas amoraim. Rabbi Yochanan omer basasan mamash, and Rabbi Elazar omer hitir agudan. So bishleim el Rabbi Elazar. Now just to speak it out again, I mean, we've already done done this, of course, a bishop, like the Rabbi Elazar Ben Abbas's son, means he tira gudan, haino demetame Rabbi Yossi. Kalala Rabbi Yochanan. If you're going to tell me that the meaning is Abbas's son, mamash, you already crushed it. Amay metame Rabbi Yossi. If Rabbi Yossi did a maisa, according to Rabbi Yossi, you did a maisa to be mevato of the yad. Why is it still tame? On Rav Shimon ben Lakish, over uyot lof chan be'eter. Since you could use it now for a pitchfork, therefore it's more usable. By the way, says Rabbi Elazar, now that you've mentioned the pitchfork and so on, it's interesting that we find the same lashon that's used vaye'etar lo, vayitzchak avinu, or atira takadosh baruch hu, one of the lashonot of tefillah. Why do we use the lashon of atira for tefillah? This is very nogea Rosh Hashanah. Lomar lecha ma'eter ze mehafechet atvua begoren mimakom lemakom av tefillatan shel tzadikim mehafechet da'ato shel hakadosh baruch hu mimidat achzarayot lemidat rachmanut. A lot of discussion about this because pitchfork is certainly not the way you would normally. I mean, there's some that point out that somebody who said this would be chayav misa. Like, what are we fighting with that kind of talk with pitchfork? But it brings a raya also from lenochach, the vayetar. There it says lenochach. Lenochach is the same word that's used in a battle. Ze lenochach ze. So that enachinami, there is an element of milchama at times in tefillah, in which this is the midah of Yitzchak Avino and midah sadin, which is why it's very nogei on Rosh Hashanah. Is that this is everything that we do? Hakadosh Baruch Hu is Yoshev Akisaydin. We are working to really to change that, to switch it around, and it's an element of battle that's involved. That's interesting, isn't it? And by us, it's a symbol of tzaddikim being around. No, but I mean, because remember, to them, there is in fact a fight between the keiches. There's an element of dualism. By us, it's all Kodesh Baruch Hu wants. He's misavel it for lots of tzaddikim. So it's Adarab. The devil's a my one. No, but it's Kenegan HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The union of Ken, there's the shyness of Tefillah to Mashba that you're fighting every day. Who wants to give us the missing Mr. President?
Doctor.
Okay, we have now completed the sugya of Sichuch, of things that are a Gezerah because of Gezerat Otsar. We have another Gezerah. The other Gezerah that we have is the Gezerah that's called Gezerat Tikra. Gezerat Otsar is a case where we created something that was not for the purpose of sale. We had a problem of Tase Velomina Asui on that case. So far, Tase Velomina Asui would be something that was initially not kosher for Schach, and then it becomes kosher through something else being done. For instance, the case of the growing ivy plant that was trained over a sukkah, and now I cut it. So if the cutting is an act that creates Schach, then there's no problem. But if not, we've got a problem of Tase Velomina Asui, we'd have to lift it up and let it down again. Now that's the classic Tase Velomina Asui, because it's actual Pasul Schach. But then we also found there's a Tase in terms of intent. If my initial creation of the sukkah, that was the Gzerat Otsar, initially it wasn't created as a place for sichur, it was created accidentally through my desire to dry out the wood that I placed on top of this drying mechanism, which now I've decided, oh, that makes a nice sukkah, let me make it as a sukkah. That too is a Tasev Lomina Otsar. There's a third Tasev Lomina Otsar, which is that, remember, the difference between a sukkah and a house is not very clear, right? The only thing we know is that you can't stay in your house. The first is you got to leave your house, or whatever that means. But the point is, you can't suddenly take your house and say, I hereby dub thee sukkah, because then there was no asiyah of a sukkah. It was always a house. You'd have to do something to your house. Let's assume even that your roofing was kosher for a sukkah. You'd have to do something to that roofing to make it now a sukkah instead of your house. Lift it up, put it back down again. So this is yet a third type of tasev alomina asui. Tasev l'sukkah v'lo l'shem bayit. This was made l'shem l'shem bayit. What are you going to do? So here we get into another type of gzeira for the same reason. If you use a type of material that would normally be used for roofing the home. And it's very similar to the Gzerat Otsar. Because we are afraid, just like over there we're afraid, okay, then you'll end up using your Otsar. Here we're afraid you'll end up using your home. So if I can make a sukkah that looks exactly like by stealing at home, well, why in the world should I go into my sukkah? Oh, in my dining room, it looks exactly the same way. So I should just stay there, basically. So therefore, we find here a machlokus about whether you can use boards. First, now, boards ought to be kosher. They grow from the ground. They're not makabotuma, because they're shooting on a caleb. And what's the problem? They're not machlober. So, and yet we find here a machlokus called Gzerat Tikra, a gzera for fear of your using a normal ceiling. So Misachachin ben Isarim Diva Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, look, there's no problem. You can go ahead and you can use boards for your sukkah. Rabbi Meir Oser. Rabbi Meir says, no, you can't. Now, Natana Lea Neser Shurachav Arba'atachim Kshera Obavat Shelo Yishantara. However, if you put a board across your sukkah, which is four tvach dokos, which is four tvachim wide, it's kosher as long as fine, as long as you don't sleep under it. Okay, this is very confusing. Is this said only Aliba de Rabbi Meir, and when it's saying it's kosher, what is kosher? The sukkah is kosher. Implications being that if it would be larger than that, the sukkah itself wouldn't be kosher. This is raising all types of funny issues here. So first of all, we have to establish whether there's the machlokas is across the board, literally. I mean, suppose I take a board that covers the whole top, and I just take a board, put it on top of my sukkah, be kosher sah. Is there a machlokas about that or not? This, it turns out, is itself a machlokas amoroyim, about how to understand the Mishnah. Rav says the machlokas in our Mishnah is about a case of nisarim sheyesh behen arba. These are normal type, this was the standard Rashi, says the standard board that was used for roofing at the time was four tefachim. Okay, so a four tefach board would be about, 32 centimeters, a reasonable size roofing material. And there we find the machlokas. Rabbi Meir is gozer because this looks like a roof. Inios gzerat tikra. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of gzerat tikra at all. But if it's not even a normal roofing material, then even Rabbi Meir agrees it's kosher. Nisarim she'ein be'em arba'a, divrei hakol k'shera. Whereas Shmuel says, no, that's not true. The machloket is specifically b'she'ein be'en arba'a machloket. There, Rabbi Yehuda says, look, there's no problem if they're not that wide. V'yesh be'em arba'a, divrei hakol p'sula. Once they're four, then everybody holds that they're possible, and everybody agrees that there certainly is such a thing as gzerat tikra. But excuse me, Shmuel, do you mean ein be'em arba'a afilu pachot b'shosha? But what are you saying? Which is the material that's the problem? You're telling me if I have a thin strip, a 1-inch strip of wood, I can't use that? What's afilu pachot b'shosha? I mean, what are you saying? Even if it's less than three, I mean, less than three doesn't even like register. That's a lobuch here, you know. So they're just kanim b'alma. I mean, I might as well just be bamboo. I mean, I can't use bamboo either. Rav Papa, no. Of course, he didn't mean that. Yesh be'en arba'a. What he's saying is like this: once it's big enough to be chosher, and that shear of four is always chosher, right? Because that's what we use to define a rishus for Shabbos as well. Once it's four, everybody holds it's chosher. Less than three, everybody holds it's chosher. Why? Because that's basically just kanim b'alma. Keep pligim mishloshad arba'a. The question is, what is the status between three tvachim and four tvachim? Mar savar kivin deletnu shiur makom lo gazrina. So Rabbi Yehuda says, look, if it doesn't have the normal size that we're makid on and view as important, which is four tefachim, then we're not going to make a gezer. Umar savar kivin deletnu mitorat lavud. Whereas Rabbi Meir says, well, but three tvachim is the size where it doesn't matter at all. Between three and four, it's more than lavud, and therefore it may not be as chashuv as arba, but once already it's similar to a tikra, so we'll be gozer gzerat tikra. So according to the first version, according to Rav's version, the question is entirely whether it's similar to a tikra in this case. According to Shmuel's version, the issue is not whether it's similar to a tikra. We don't consider that it's the specific similarity of the size of the slats that makes the person sensitive. The question now is in terms of where the Rabbanim will make the gzera, which is an entirely different issue. And that's a technical question of the chashivut of size. Less than three is never viewed as chasher. More than four is always viewed as chasher. Four and up, in other words, viewed as chasher. Machlokas over here is where the Rabbanan interested in making gzerat tikra, even though it wasn't the full size of four or not. That's the machlokas, Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yehuda. So it's a completely different vision, according to Shmuel. Okay?
That he had intended, and have intention that these boards would be used for chasher.
He had intention. If he didn't have intention, it would be possible to be rice. He had intention. Nonetheless, he can't. That's why it says, Mesachachin benesorim or Ein Mesachachin benesorim. He wants to make it clear that you're coming to make your sukkah now. Not that you're coming to translate your house. That's not the issue. Possible, not. Can you be Mesachachin?
If these things had been used in the roof of the house, you cannot take them now into.
No. Unless you remove them, put them back down again. Right.
So then there's no Shechevan, there's a reads in that,
No, because it's not a significant enough difference. Remember, we're going to tell people you can't use wood. You can't use wood of any size.
They grow like this.
I understand. Like I say, you can't use any kind of processed material. What we would have to say. Because who's going to confuse that with a ceiling? It's very interesting. You mean the fact is that there is a Rav Shulchan Aruch that says that nowadays it has become very. It's not going to be very fancy. I mean, not now, but it is like to use very thin slab. Now there should be Xeris Tikra even on less, because a lot of people are mocked indeed not to use even though many of us are crazy, because the Gemara is talking about whether we made the Xera or not. I mean, how does he understand the sugya like that? Because of that, people indeed don't like the woods. You notice a lot of people will not use the wood. Even they won't use the slat that they sell. Because of that, because they'll use bamboo. Yeah, and that's because of that sign. Right, in other words, he's look, I mean, there are others that the weight, because the truth is, it depends on whether we pass them like Rav and Shmuel. See, because, I mean, and that's a whole question which we'll get into later on. It doesn't really matter very much, because even if we paskin, no matter how we paskin, it turns out that there's exeris nidre. Because if it is a machlokas, then we're going to end up paskining that there is exeris nidre by Rabbi Meir. So it doesn't really matter lahalach, as the Rosh points out, but it has some interesting implications, one of which is that, because if we're paskin like Rav, then indeed we're using the dugma of what the norm is for the ceiling as the makor of the gezera, and that's what he's basing it on. If we're paskin like Shmuel, then we're not, you see. But it's fascinating to see how it involves an awful lot of complex analysis of what the sugya ends up doing. In any event, the question is how to read the continuation of the Mishnah. Now take a look what it says. The next line in the Mishnah, it's 9. Natana le'anesa shurachav arba tvachim kshira. If you put down one slab, which is 4 tvachim, it's kosher, but you can't sleep under it. B'vat shlo yishan tachav. Now, what does that mean? The bishlam of the Shmuel, dem b'she'in b'em arba machlok, ava yesh b'em arba dibe yakob psula. What the Mishnah seems to be saying, according to Shmuel, makes a lot of sense. In other words, the Mishnah basically is coming to clarify, once it's 4 tvachim, then you've got a problem. So in order to make it clear that everybody would agree that if it's 4 tvachim, you can't sleep under it. And once I know you can't sleep under it, now by extension, I know it's not kosher schach, so I can't be misachik with it. So basically, you just cleared up the Mishnah for me. Now I understand that the first part of the Mishnah was referring to a case where it does not have 4 tvachim, and the second case is, but if it had 4 tvachim, you'd be in trouble. It works out very well. But, I mean, according to Rav Yamar, Sheish Brem Arba Machloket, Avalin Brem Arba, Dibreko Ksheira, so then, I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Why now does it say, and if it had 4 tvachim, then you can't sleep under it? I mean, why, according to Rabbi Yehuda, why can't you sleep under it? Perfectly kosher schach, according to Rabbi Yehuda. No limit to the size of how big board it on your sukkah. Then it says, Rav, well, Misavra Dibreakoli, what makes you think that this piece of the Mishnah is necessarily being said as an agreed statement by all Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda? Maybe this was an extension. Rabbi Meir Oser, and furthermore, Rabbi Meir says, even if you have one piece of schach that was 4 tvachim, you can't sleep under it, wherever it is. So who says Rabbi Yehuda agrees? Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree. This was a statement, Aliba, the way Rav understands it, only Aliba to Rabbi Meir. Misavra Dibreakoli, Seifa Ata, and the Rabbi Meir. Seifa was only referring to Rabbi Meir. Tashma, let's see if this can work out according to both Rav and Shmuel. Here it says, Shnei Sadinim Mitzarfim. If you have two scarves. Before we continue, let me just remind you about the psul of a sukkah that has schach pasul. One thing we know about schach pasul is that if it's at the side of a sukkah, and it separates the wall from the kosher sichel, we have up to 4 tvachim, but we will tolerate that. And that's because of dofen aguma. We haven't learned, 4 amas, I'm sorry, did I say 4? We have up to 4 amas, then we're fine. There's a lot of leeway. What about if a schach pasul is in the middle of the sukkah somewhere? And we'll see later on that there's a machlokas about that. We're going to assume now that 4 tvachim of schach pasul running down the middle of a sukkah. Now, we'll see there's a difference in the size of the sukkah, obviously. But then in certain cases, 4 tvachim running down the middle of the sukkah will pasul the sukkah. It makes a big difference. We already saw 3 tvachim without schach. That was the difference of the peirot that we spoke about last. So now, we could understand that what it means over here is that if you have one dot of 4 tvachim, don't sleep under it, meaning don't sleep under it from the side. Because maybe if it were in the middle of your sukkah, it would pasul the sukkah because schach was. But if it's on the side, it doesn't pasul your sukkah. None of Unless don't sleep under it, because you're just allowing it because of Dofen Akuma. Yeah, that's one way of understanding it. So now, if we have Shnei Sadinim, so we have 2 Sadinim, are Mitzarfim, so we can understand these are scarves, basically. They're Mekabel Tumah. They're real Schach Pasul. If we could put them together in the middle of the Sukkah to be 4 Tfachim wide, then we would Pasul the Sukkah with Schach Pasul of 4 Tfachim. But Shnei Nisarim, in Mitzarfim. 2 boards, however, would not Pasul. Now, that could be Reb Yudashita, would not Pasul because they're not pasul. So what difference how many there are? You could have your whole sukkah with them. Why would they be mitzarev if they themselves are kosher? Rabbi Meir Omer, af nisarim kisadidim. As Rabbi Meir says, what's the difference between a board and a scarf? Now, this only seems to work like Shmuel. Because according to Shmuel, the machlokis, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yud, is where you don't have arba'ah, right? So you have to discuss whether they're mitzarev or not. Because to pasul a sukkah, it has to be arba'ah. That explains the machlokis. So he holds b'she'en b'em arba'ah. machloket. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying, okay, it's perfectly good because it's kosher schach. Rabbi Meir says, well, it's not kosher schach, but one piece it won't passel. If you have two pieces, it'll be mitzarf passel. Fine, that makes a lot of sense. So yesh b'mar b'adi v'yakob sila. And when it says mitzarfin, it means mitzarfin l'arba'ah. So you have now, in the middle of your sukkah, place of four tefachim that doesn't have schach kosher and has schach passel, it's passel. But Rav, according to Rav, the only machlokes is b'sheyesh b'mar b'ah, right? If it didn't have arba'ah, then even Rabbi Meir was saying it's kosher. So the mamanashach, if you have one piece, you already have arba'ah. If you have less than one piece of arba'ah, adding 100 such pieces won't make any problems because they're all kosher. So how could you be mitzarev? Doesn't make any sense at all. So Rav, diyamar b'sheyesh b'mar b'ah machlokes. Avol ein b'mar b'ah divrei hakol k'sher even for your whole sukkah. So explain to me what the case of. Echidami. Idi eat bu arba'ah. But you have four. So then what do you need sira for? What are you telling me could be mitzarev? Just tell me. You have schach basel of arba'ah, passes the sukkah.
You make a solid ceiling for these 3.9.
Be kosher, the whole thing.
There's no air, no light coming through.
It's a different question whether we need light, whether you need to be able to, that we'll discuss when we get to that sukkah. And here it doesn't say necessarily there's a problem, that there's no light coming through. Either eat bu arba'ah, lama lo eats the roof. It's a mamon of shor. If you have four, you don't need zero. If you don't have four, there's nothing to be mitzarev. These are just kanim b'alma. They're not any kind of puzzle. Liolam de eat bu arba'ah. No, it's talking about that they do have four and they are puzzle. And when it's talking about siruf, it means mitzarfim la arba amot, meaning that the schach is on the side. The mitzarfim la arba amot benetzad is what it's referring to. Okay, we can take that. According to Rav Yehuda, of course, it won't be mitzarev because it's all kosher. What's the problem? Lishnachri. Now, there's another way of saying this, was to say it like this. Bishleim el Shmuel. According to Shmuel, holds b'she'in behem arba machlok, over yesh behem arba divrei hakol psula. My mitzarfim. What would be the meaning of mitzarfim? That they would be mitzarfim la arba amot benetzad. So there, I could understand. The meaning of mitzarfim, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, would be the question of whether they're mitzarfs. Rabbi Yehuda would be saying that what? Ain't mitzarfs. It's weird. In other words, we're trying to say now our problem is in the lashon of tziruf. Because if you think about it, for Rabbi Yehuda to say the words ain't mitzarfim is a bit absurd. If the thing itself is kosher, what's there to be mitzarev? This lashon is focusing on that problem. Okay? According to Shmuel, it makes sense for there to be a machlokus about the word mitzarfim. Because even according to Shmuel, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, there is in fact a case where if it's four, that it's possible. And of course, the tziruf would only have to be four amot, but they could argue about that. Okay, but according to Rav, how could Rabbi Yehuda use the word mitzarfim? If according or ain mitzarfim, if the issue isn't whether it's mitzarif or not, the issue is whether it's kosher. If it's kosher, there's nothing to be mitzarif liyaser. That's the Gemara's question here. Okay, let's just read that inside. So this second lashon focuses on the use of the word tziruf and says bishleim el Shmuel diyamer b'she'in behem arba amachlok etav yesh behem arba adivei kol psula. Then the machlokus in mitzarfim would be legabe what? Obviously not for arba tvachim, because we'd be talking about arba tvachim. The machlokus would be mitzarfim arba amot minatzad. But according to Rav, okay, I understand that Rabbi Meir is saying mitzarfim arba amot minatzad. But according to Rav, that Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's kosher. Why is he using the word mitzarfim? Rabbi Yehuda diomar afilo yesh b'mar arba ksheira mitzarfim. What mitzarfim? Kanim bi'almanino. They're just regular pieces like bamboo. Well, because Rabbi Meir used the word mitzarfim, so Rabbi Yehuda used the word ein mitzarfim. Doesn't really mean ein mitzarfim. Okay, but now let's think back according to Shmuel. What was the Gemara saying, gentlemen? Bishleim, according to Shmuel, I understand that Rabbi Yehuda would be saying ein mitzarfim. In what case? Where it is arba atvachim. Why would it not be mitzarfim? According to Shmuel, it's chachasul. So then we have now a new machlok. Not whether it's kosher possible, whether it's mitzarif possible arba ames minatzad. Now this drives the Bar Shok crazy, and he says, look, it's got to mean that according to Rabbi Yehuda, in a case where it wasn't for tvachim, it wouldn't be mitzarif, which is difficult to swallow because the whole point that the Gemara is making is you can't use the word zero on something that's kosher. So that's really, it's almost outrageous. So the Maran's pshat here is indeed that even though, according to Shmuel, both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir agree that once it's arba'at tochim, that it's no good. It's different, however. Two cases are different. Rabbi Meir holds that it's truly schach asul. Rabbi Yehuda holds it's only not to be slept under, but it doesn't have a din of schach asul to passel the sukkah. In order to avoid someone sleeping under his sukkah, we say don't sleep under a board. But therefore, it will not have a din of schach pasul to pasul because of dofen agum and the tzad. It isn't schach pasul. It's just ein mesachachin ben asarim, which is a beautiful explanation. So now it turns out that there's two different machlokas in here. First of all, is there bechlal schach a problem of xerat tikra? It's a machlokas Rabbi Meir. Meir and Rabbi Yehuda according to how each Rav and Shmuel view it, right? According to Shmuel, there's a machlokas about a case where it's four. According to Rav, everybody, according to Rav, Rabbi Yehuda will never agree to Gzeirat Tzir. But there's a further question about Tzirot. That's the second lashon over here. That what Rabbi Yehuda is saying is, even though I tell you not to sleep under it, doesn't mean that it's going to passel your sukkah. It will not passel your sukkah. Therefore, you cannot be mitzarefit even for a problem of dofen akuma min atzad. So you could have five amot of boards on the side of the sukkah. As long as you don't sleep under them, your sukkah is kosher. It's a completely different approach to it. Says the Gemara, Tanya kavasa de Rav, Tanya kavasa de Shmuel. Truth is, if we take a look in the Braitot on the Mishnah, we will see that there are Braitot that assume Rav's explanation, and that the whole machlokas is only once it's four. It's less than four. Nobody would say this is zero. And there's other Braitot that accept Shmuel's explanation. And on the contrary, once it's four, everybody agrees that there's a zero. Let's take a look at this. Tanya kavasa de Rav, sichachad bin esarim shel eres, shehin be'emar ba'ah, diriyakok sheir. This is clearly like Rav. It says, if you use small cedar, and like we use in our cedar closets, then there's certainly no problem. Divriyakok Shera, Yesh Bemarba'a, only once there. Four, there we have a machlokas, Rabbi Meir Posel, Rabbi Yudah's Machshir, and that's precisely what Rav said, that there's no Gzeira sticker at all according to Rabbi Yudah. From Rabbi Yudah Maaseh B'Sha'ata Sakana, one time we had a problem building sukkahs, and we had to pretend that we were just sitting out in the porch, because the government would have had our heads. We sat in the sukkah, and what we did is we brought Nisorim, and these Nisorim were standard roofing Nisorim, they had Arba'a. We put it up on top of our porch. We pretended to be having a nice time meeting outdoors. Omrulo, what kind of raya is that? Ain't Sha'ata Sakana raya. You're going to bring the proof from Sha'ata Sakana. And the fact that the Chachamim allowed you to do it there doesn't mean that that's the way it should be done. Now, this becomes a major, major milestone in Pesikei Halacha. Says the question over here is, I mean, obviously, if something would have been possible, truly possible, let's say, for instance, you would have something would be Makabal Tumim Bin Rabban. So it's Makabal Tumim Bin Rabban, and then fitting the guidelines and the criteria of a sukkah, you can't use it for sukkah. So would you say that under such circumstances, you don't have anything else, look, it's only Tomei Mirabana, at least use that to be Bekayim Didi Rais? Probably not. Many posts hold that. Right. Or Peshasat Chak. As you say, isn't it better to be Yotze Didi Rais? Not necessarily, because we find very often, and actually Tosfos brings cases like this right here in Sukkah, that if this is not what is kosher to make a Sukkah from, you don't make a Sukkah to be Yotze Didi Rais. The only point over here is that since the whole thing was Xeras Tikra, did the Rabbanan make Xeras Tikra in a case where it would cause a complete bittul of the mitzvah? That's the question. And if they didn't, then that means you make a bracha on this sukkah, which is the way the Mishnah Berurah passes. And then we use this as a common, for many such cases throughout the generations, about whether to make a bracha on something which was a violation of Gzeirat Rabbanan of this sort. And here you get into the nafka mina, where to make a bracha, where not to make a bracha. If it's nogea, general criteria, or a specific Gzeirah, and so on, you can see this is wasn't when he was bringing a raya from Shata Sakana. That's Gufa, why he was bringing the raya. Rabbi Yudah knew that Lishitatam, it should have said, what's the point of making a non-sukkah to pretend? But indeed, there are whole confusions about this. Because the question is whether, are we doing this shalot tishakach torat sukkah, or are we doing it in order at least to be Yotze, say, the mitzvah d'oraisa? These are two very different approaches. If it's a shalot tishakach, then you don't get it. You don't make it abroad. You wouldn't say the leisha. Okay, that seems to be a question in the Rishonim. That's the third one. Right, that's right. Okay, so therefore they told him no. Lamaisa, it wouldn't be a right. Now another bride says it exactly like Shmuel. So in other words, this is exactly what Shmuel says. Even Rabbi Yudah's made it. There's a gzeiras tikra. If it's once it's arba'ah. If ain behem arba'ah, then Rabbi Meir posel and Rabbi Yudah's makshir. Moda Rabbi Meir. Sheim yesh bein nesel nesek emolei nesek. If Lamaisa, you have staggered on the roof place between the Nisarim, then you can put Pesel b'nei. Pesel means chak from Solet Goren v'yekev, we call it Pesel. Ukshera. And at that point, it would be kosher. Now, that's not clear. Why at that point would it be kosher? It seems to be describing a sukkah which is half kosher and half pesel. Why would it be kosher if it's only half and half? We're going to get to that later. No, here it's here. This is Rabbi Meir. Here we're talking about, according to Rabbi Meir, it could be even less, right? Certainly if it's four. Later on, we're going to see that this is a unique case. It's a well-defined case. And the case is this. Dr. Case is this. You have a sukkah that is 8x8, and what you do is you start on either side using Neser Pesel, Neser Pesel. Then you end up with two pesels in the middle, which are now sufficiently large, the Sheva al Sheva, which is the size of a sukkah katana. But that sukkah katana will now have less than four amas on either side, and therefore will be kosher from Dof and Akuma. So therefore, Rabbi Meir is made in this case that it's kosher. Wild case. That's why, because if you start on either end, you'll meet in the middle. You'll end up with enough to be 8x8, which is more than 7x7 in the middle, and you still won't have exceeded your Dofen Akuma allowance. And therefore, your sukkah will be kosher. And Moda, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda is also Moda. She im natan alea neser, shurachav arba'at vachim kshera, that Rabbi Yehuda, even though he's mako normally, when they don't have arba, but here again, according to Shmuel, if you have one neser that has arba, you put it on the side of your sukkah, that then, though it's kosher because it's on the side, and if you did, if you are shen tachtav, lo yatzei yedei chovato. What's interesting is that the Rambam brings the Mishnah Kitsurata. He doesn't say minatzad. He says it's kosher, but ein yishanim tachtav. I mean, lechora, if he agrees to this, this is Rabbi Yehuda's version. And once it's arba tvachim, that even Rabbi Yehuda agrees, that's gzerat tikra, then why doesn't he pass on the sukkah if it's arba in the middle? Why doesn't he say minatzad? Some are medayik from there that the Rambam actually holds that Alibud Rabbi Yehuda, again, the Gzeras Tikra, doesn't make it into Schach Vessel. Only prevents you from sleeping under it. Just similar to what we discussed earlier. They ask a lot of kashas on the Rambam. Some say maybe it's the Rambam's Derech, to quote a Mishnah, not that it's a Lashon of Mishnah. So you say the Lashon of Mishnah without further ado, but that maybe in Okinami, without could be Minatzad. However, we see already two interesting indications that Gzeras Tikra, Alibud Rabbi Yehuda, according to Shmuel, assuming that that's how we would ask him, might be very, very different than the din of Schach Vessel Mamash. Now that leads us directly into the next sugya, which is fascinating. Suppose you took these boards and you didn't use them lengthwise, right? You used them edgewise, not widthwise, I mean edgewise. So now the question is, are we talking about a psul in the material, or are we talking about a psul in the mode? And that's a whole different question. So ask the Gemara like this. Once we make this gzeirat tikra, okay, what would be the din itmar? Afchan atzideyan. Suppose you now put them down edgewise. So Rav Huna amar psula. Rav Chista, Rabbi Bar Avuna, Amar Kshera. Comes along Rav Nachman and he's visiting Sura. So Rav Chista and Rabbi Bar Avuna take the opportunity of Rav Nachman's visit to Sura to ask him what the din would be, trying to prove that they were right against Rav Huna. So they go in there and they say, Afchanat Sideyam Mahu. And Rav Nachman tells them exactly what Rav Huna told. Amar Lohu Psula. And he explains himself. Why are they Psula? Because once we made Gzeirat Tikra, Nasu Kishpodin Shomat Techet. You might as well be using a metal spit. What's the difference how thin a metal spit is? A metal spit is a dovers bakabal tumah. It doesn't matter if it's thin, as thin as you want, it's no longer kosher. So even though the gzeras tikra, we said, would be absurd to apply to a case of less than three tvachim, but once the material itself is included in gzeras tikra, then it's we're no longer analyzing it except as schach pasul. Therefore, what's nafkamina, how you put it on, the modality is no longer important. The material is what's important. Amalo Ravuna. Ravuna couldn't resist a little bit of a snob. I've been telling you. I said, well, you didn't explain it. You didn't say anything. If you would have explained it to us, we would have understood it. Amarlo, did you ask me? Did you ask me to explain it? And I didn't explain it. I mean, if you didn't ask me, I assumed that you understood. And nonetheless, you disagreed. So now, next time, be a little clearer. Probably. Yeah, I mean, we find this many times. Yeah. It's probably that Rabbi Bar Avuna, sure. Layman b'sayel. Let's see if we bring a raya to this din. Ein amachzek es kedei rosh ruba b'shulchan. So you have a sukkah that is too small, doesn't hold rosh ruba b'shulchan. Or you have a sukkah shenifritza b'piritzik kedei shizdakir b'gedi b'bat rosh. You have a sukkah which is low, but doesn't have a mechita v'asara. It was relying on lovut, and now there's a break in the bottom of the wall that is greater than the size of lovut, which we always refer to as large enough for a small animal to just run through. That destroys the mechitza. O shnatana le'anes eshurachav arba atvachim. Or Or he puts a four tefach wide board on top of his sukkah, even though only three tefachim of the sukkah was covered by this board of four tefachim, nonetheless it's possible. What does that mean? So doesn't that mean he took a board that was four tefachim wide, three tefachim thick, just put it on its side, and now cover it over, three tefachim. That'll be our answer. So apparently, it's possible, even though it was half Hanatzi Deyam, but your answer is not complete, as you'll see. Says the Gemara, lo, Azari suggests here, talking about that you put this board of four on the open end of your sukkah. We always refer to a sukkah as having three ends. It's on your open end. Only three out of the four tefachim are inside of your sukkah. So you'll say, so what? Still proves the same darn thing. Because if we're not talking about the modality, so then what's an afkamina between this case and the case where, if we're talking about the modality, then you don't have four tefachim in your sukkah. But this, the Gemara adds, an ingenious piece of this. Since you have tlata legav, the afik chad lebar, have a psel hayotze minasuk, the chol psel hayotze minasuk and nidon kesukah. We'll see later on that there's an amazing halacha that if schach extends out of the sukkah, then it is nonetheless kosher, despite the fact that it doesn't have divano. So since over here, you're extending this outward, the outward piece is considered to be modality, because it too would have kashered because of the pesel that is yotzei. Therefore, you can't bring a raya that the material is a ram, because maybe it's only because of this extended halacha of pesel hayotzei min hasukkah that it's possible now. That we'll worry about later. I'm saying, but take, given that such a thing is true, so now I can utilize that halacha to say that the piece that's sticking out of the sukkah was part of the way that I was besachik my sukkah. Otherwise, I'd have to come back to saying that the material is problematic. Why don't we say what? What are you saying? We're trying to prove modality here. We're trying to prove the material. So the Gemara is saying, I can give you a reason why the modality is also and not the material. How? If you're going to tell me only three is in the sukkah, where's the modality of Xeras Tikra? I don't see a Tikra up here. I only see three. So for that, I can say, but because there is a concept of a sukkah extendable, then I have to look at the way that this is over the extended area too. And there I get, in fact, a modality of it rather than a material, right? But without that extra knach, I wouldn't have been able to get around it. That's why it's such an ingenious little piece.
How was it used otherwise?
What? Quick review? You could say, so then why would the Acherim argue? Because they hold like Rabbi Yossi, the time Rabbi Yossi mitameh. Ah, come on, Bishleima, hatam time Rabbi Yossi is because it's Chaz, as Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish explained. Yom Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish over Ruyas Lof and Beatar, or better. Elohacha, Lamai Chazia. No, it's still Chazia, Lachisatar, after Sukkot. It's easy to pick up the Schaf. Lamin Ketlu Begilayu. Guf. Koya Doto Chlim Shabasasan Begorin Torot, Rabbi Yossi Betan. My Basasan, Rabbi Yochan Omer Basasan Mamash, Rabbi Lazar Omer Hitira Gudan. The Bishleim Rabbi Lazar Omer Basasan Hitira Gudan, Hain of the Metami Rabbi Yossi. Because he says, look, it retains its din. But according to Rabbi Yochan, and it holds literally, you did a Maisa, a Mai Metami Rabbi Yossi, on Rabbi Shimon Lakish, over Ruyot of Chambiat. Om Rabbi Lazar, Laman im Shlot Tvilatan Shat Tzadikim Keter, Lomar Lacha, Ma Eter Ze, Ma Pechet Atvua Abgore, Mi Makom Lo Makom, Av Tvilatan Shat Tzadikim, Ma Pechet Ato Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mi Midat Akzariyot, Mi Midat Rachlanu. Misach, Achim Benesorim, Dev Rebbe Yudav Rebbe Meir Oser, Natan Alei Neser Shurach Avar Ba'at Vachim Kshera, Ubevat Shlo Yishan Tatav. Om Arav Machlok, Benesorim Shesh Ben Marba, Dev Rebbe Meir Yit Lekzerat Rav, Rebbe Yudav Lek Zerat Grav, Benesorim Shem Ben Marba, Dev Rebbe Akok Shera, Vishwilam Rebbe Shem Ben Marba Machlok, Vayesh Ben Marba, Dev Rebbe Akok Psula, Ein Ben Marba, Afilu Pachot Mishlosha, Akonim Be Amanin, Om Rav Papa, Chikom Yesh Ben Marba, Dev Rebbe Akok Psula, Pachot Mishlosha, Dev Rebbe Akok Shera, My Time Akonim Be Amanin, Kipligi Mishlosha Ad Arba, Mar Sarva Kimen, Letu Shir Makom Lo Gazrina, Mar Sarva Kimen, Naf, Kedum Torat Lavud, Gazrina, Tuna, Natan Ala Nes, Shurach, Avar Ba, Tachim Shira, Bavach Lo Yishan Tach, Bishleim, Ad Shmul Diyam, Bishain Ben Marba, Amar Lo Gaz, Avo Yesh Ben Marba, Ad, Dev Rebbe Akok Psula, Mishumach Lo Yishan Tach, Avar Ba, Diyam, Bishain Ben Marba, According to Rav Yehuda, why lo yishantach ba? Who said it's going to Rav Yehuda? Misabat divrei akoli seifat adam Rabbi Meir. Toshma shnei sadidim mitzarfim, but shnei nisarim ein mitzarfim. As Rabbi Meir omer af nisarim kisadidim. So fishleim on the Shmuel the Amar b'shein be'marba machlok. Avo yesh be'marba adivrei akopsula. So mitzarfim would mean mitzarfim le'arba to pass on the suk in the middle. But according to Rav the Amar b'sheish be'marba machlok adavlein be'marba divrei akok shira. So tell me what the case is. If they already have arba, you don't need zero. If they don't have arba'a, you can't have nothing to be mitzari. What kind of mi'amaninu? Li'olam di'id be'eu arba'a. When he says mitzarfim, he was referring to mitzarfim arba'a mot min atzad. Lishnachrinu. Bishleim l'shmul di'amar b'shem be'am arba'a machloket ova yesh be'am arba'a divrei kopsula. Then the word mitzarfim would mean mitzarfim arba'a min atzad. But according to Rav, Bishleim Rabbi Meir, okay, mitzarfim min arba'a min atzad. How could you use the word mitzarfim for Rabbi Yehuda if Rabbi Yehuda also fili yesh be'am arba'a k'shera? So what's been mitzarfim? They're just got in be'am, but nothing been mitzarfim. True. I did come Rabbi Meir mitzarfim. Om Rabbi Yehuda ain't mitzarfim. Tanika was the Rav, Tanika was the Shmuel, Tanika was the Rav. So Chachamim Yisraim Shlarish ain't be'am arba'a divrei kol k'shera. Yesh be'am arba'a. That's where you have the machlokas. Rabbi Meir posel, Rabbi Yehuda makshir. Om Rabbi Yehuda ma'aseh b'shata sakana shevienu Yisraim shehu be'am arba'a v'schachlo gam in Rebeset. V'yashav netach diyem. Om Rabbi Shom Raya. In shata sakana raya. Tanika was the Shmuel. Sikha be'am Yisraim Shlarish yesh be'am arba'a divrei kol k'shera. In be'am arba'a. Rabbi Meir posel, Rabbi Yehuda makshir. Moda Rabbi Meir. Shim yesh be'am nesel l'neser. K'bolei neser. Shim eniach pesel b'neim u'k'shera. Umoda Rabbi Yehuda. Shim natana l'an neser shurachav arba'a t'vachim. K'shera b'rein yishanim t'chav. Lo yashen t'chav lo yatsa yedei chavato. Yitma. How about av charat sideyim? Rav Huna omer p'sul r'chis to rabba baravuna m'k'shera. Ikvar v'yachlo m'sur l'gabay r'chis to rabba baravuna. I'm like, what would be the din of av charat sideyim? No. Omer lo p'sul. Ma'asu k'shvarim shamo t'chav. Omer lo Rav Huna. Lo amri lo chayim rakavati. Omer lo umyor malan man taima v'lo kibalnu minei. Omer lo umi ba'ita v'inai taima v'lo amri lo. Lema m'sayel. Ina ma'asa k'kidei rosh ha'u rubav u'shukhana. Oh, shenim v'tzabo p'yur tzikli shiz lak b'o k'diba bat rosh. Oh, shenatana la nes shurachav arba t'vachim. Apo pish lo ikhnis tocha la shlosha t'vachim psula. How is that possible? Echi dami, it must be glav ko t'shavchem. That's the day. Not necessarily. Achma is kidding on da'an ka'pum in the metal alta. Ayo t'lata le gov. V'yafik chad levar. But since it's called pesel ha'yotzei ben ha'suka, ko pesel ha'yotzei ben ha'suka, nidon ka'suka now becomes a function of gzerat tikra as how it looks.